Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Hello, Tori.
And your boy Jay Scar.
What up, 2-5?
What it do, baby? Let's get it.
Let me switch my mics. I am on the wrong mic. Give me 1 minute, fellas.
First time podcasting. Sounds like a can. Let me say something while he does that. Loving the new visuals.
It's more of the app, bro. The app just kicks my mic around, my camera around. Like a lot of shenanigans, man. But stay together at the same time.
Golden hour. Golden hour, Dan.
Yeah, Dan, you getting that. Ooh, Dan, you might need a profile. I might need a new profile. Shower, Dan.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, hey. First 2 minutes. There
we
goes.
Kicking it off early here.
Rails already. It's rated R, not PG-13 anymore.
No, after daylight saving, when daylight savings time starts, the sun goes down, obviously, an hour later. So I look directly west, so you can see it going down over downtown Tampa in the water. It's not bad. Not a bad place to be.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. I can't lie, but it's all good.
Well, you guys got to come to Tampa. There's no reason not to.
Got to come check you, man.
Nick, were you in Tampa at the Savannah Bananas game?
No. That was a picture from my buddy.
Oh, gotcha.
I went to one of those before.
I had the invite, but I think I was going to go. I thought I was going to be out of town at the time. So I rescinded my invite. I think it's a good show. They're the Harlem Globetrotters.
Nah, it's cool. It's cool. Yeah, I like it.
It's not really baseball.
Yeah,
my coach. But also that that stadium's not meant to have baseball in it. That's all.
Well,
it was.
No, they. I forgot. I think it was originally supposed to be in St. Pete at the Trop, and then the Trop obviously got destroyed during the hurricane. So then they decided, hey, why not try it at a football field? Obviously, football field dimensions probably not worth it, but. I don't know how much tickets were. I know that they have like a lottery system. I think they said they got like 100,000 plus people that entered the lottery. 65,000 people went. So when I saw the picture that you posted, I was like, oh man, Nick came to Tampa, which was A, a surprise, and B, did it without telling me. So I was about to be in my feelings. But to know that you were just flexing on the gram, trying to pretend like you were there, we've all done it. You know, I've stolen pictures at concerts, passed them off. I get it. You know,
that's nasty work, man.
Right, that's crazy.
That's nasty.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
All right,
no doubt. No doubt.
How's everybody's weekend? Then we'll get into the show. A lot to talk about today.
My weekend's pretty chill, man. Prom, my daughter had a senior prom, so that was exhausting, man. It was actually Friday, so just my whole day flew by. I know it's daylight, the time has changed, but. My days are flying by even faster, man. I don't know what it is, but woke up errands from hair to nails to dress to everything, you know, rental cars. Like it was just a full day of shenanigans, man.
That weekend.
I'm still recovering, my brother, like mentally.
I already know it.
But yeah, I had to chaperone all night. You know, that was a good, it was good. It was fun, man. My daughter's growing up, bro. She's a big girl, yeah. Bro. This is her little, her send off wave right now, man. Right. So
that was a nice, it was sad. I saw it. It was cute. I'm like, oh, look at her. I sit down. I don't even want to look at my daughter. That's going to make me start thinking.
Yeah.
You like that suit? I ain't ready.
It, fly by, brother.
She's 18 now. She's a woman. Your baby girl.
She's 17. She turned 18 17? June. Yeah. Woo. A couple more months, man. Whew. 17.
Oh, holding on to the baby girl still.
Yeah, she she's a baby girl forever, bro.
Yeah
that ain't going anywhere. You know?
Sure, for sure.
Hopefully she stays close to college and I can still, you know, be a hella cool helicopter dad. I'm a helicopter dad, but I'm a cool one, you feel me?
Every helicopter dad probably thinks they're a cool helicopter dad. And the children might have their own thoughts about how cool of a helicopter you're riding in.
Right.
Had a pretty chill weekend, though, man. Hit the beach a little bit with the fam just to get the kids out the house, burn some energy out. That was a good idea. So
which one you hit around here?
Out of me. I go to the one right at the Singer Island.
Okay.
Yeah. So slid up there, had a little good time, ate some food. Kids got to play in the sand. They scared of the water still, so it was just out there burning up. We had a little umbrella and stuff. We weren't burning up too much, but it was a good time overall, man. Just got to chill. Obviously, we watched some Gator basketball over the weekend where I was once I got back home. But other than that, it was a pretty chill weekend for me.
I love that, man. I love that. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to those that are celebrating, whether you're green. Actually celebrating or not. Yeah. I didn't wear green today. So
no green. Wow.
And we went out for a bit on Saturday, but today, obviously, the pod and, you know, drinking on Monday nights is a tough look. For me, you know, I mean, getting older.
Last Monday we
had a couple drinks. Yeah. Let's talk about that before we do that.
Dan was wrecking the bar.
Hey, Dan had.
We had three drinks.
My pop said every interview Dan had a new drink, and he wasn't even sticking to one.
Oh well, I mean, yeah. Well, kind of.
That was a couple old fashions.
Yeah, a couple old fashions and a glass of wine.
Yeah, you cooled it down with wine at the end. Yeah.
I mean, okay.
More old fashions would have had you on demon time.
No. Dan has been. I had something pop up from like 8 years ago. Dan used to always tweet out the old lady, grandpa, grandma emojis when he would have an old fashioned. It was a picture of an old fashioned, the old people emojis.
Oh, that's nice.
This one was from another night. We were out the night before an event, and I had a picture of Dan, big smile on his face, holding an old fashioned, and I put the old people emojis on it.
Man, I wonder what that would have been 8 years ago.
That was your Bender days for sure.
Oh, I know what it was. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, good stuff. Well, let's get into the Brunt Insurance ad read, and then we'll get on with the program.
Oh, that's on me. My bad. Yeah,
that's on you. Hey, I'm like, hold on.
No, I was listening, but not listening. I was reading one of the comments from the Kane fans in the comments, man. Shout out to Kane for life, man. I appreciate you for pulling up. Stadium Miguel is brought to you by the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the panhandle to the keys, my man Greg can take care of you. Auto insurance, life insurance, home insurance. If you got a motorcycle, I'm pretty sure he can save you some money. You can visit bruntinsurance.com or you can give him a call at 954-589-2204. Shout out to Greg, man. He held us down for the Lagway event. Just super love. Greg's been covering my home for feel like 5-6 years now, man. Solid guy. So y'all tap in with him and save some money. Don't cost nothing to save money.
Right? Greg, what it do, baby?
Well, speaking of Greg and the DJ Lagway event, that was last Monday. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you guys all enjoyed that content. We had a great time. Want to give a few special pieces of recognition Want to thank DJ Lagway and his team of folks that put on a fantastic event. I don't know how much they raised. It was definitely well into the five figures. I want to give a shout out to the artist Rebel. He had a piece of artwork sell for, I think, $8,000 or more. We chatted with Steve Spurrier for a little bit. We tried to get him on the show, and then the event programming kind of started, and we had lost Nick and Jordan. Well, Jordan was actually sitting at the table, and I didn't see him. We're trying to rush around, so we missed that interview. We're going to try to get something done. But overall, Corey had a couple of his friends come up and do some of the videography stuff. Brandon, who is a faithful listener of the show, Brandon Connell, was there helping organize events, take video, all of that. So a lot of production, a lot of work went into that. We hope to do some more. So thank you to everybody that helped us there. The podcast is available where you're streaming and listening to this one. And then we cut up all the other interviews. So if you're interested in hearing, but Rod Kearney, DeBron Hampton, DJ Lagway, who else did we get? We got Ernest Graham, DeAndre Robinson. So a lot of great content, a lot of great interviews. Got the chance to talk to a few other people that were there as well. Some of them didn't want to hop on camera, which is understandable as well. But thank you for everybody that listened and consumed that content. It was an unbelievably fun night. And Tank Hawkins, yes.
Big Tank. I like the off the back of my Tyler Miles interview, Tank putting his input on Coach Miles' 4x1 order. Tank Bender himself. Also, DeBron Hampton, let me just tell you, continues to cook the third and fourth teamers that he is practicing against. My guy is smooth.
Nah, he's smooth as heck, man. A fan favorite too, bro. A lot of people rooting for that kid. Walk on came over with DJ Lagway, but hearing some punt returns, return action.
He's one of the guys in the mix. We can talk about that today. That's been in my report for long enough where you can just put that out there. But yeah, he had some other offers. I think one person has asked me, like, oh, why'd you bring DeBron Hampton in there? I'm like, listen, man, he wanted to talk. Also, cool story. Like, bet on himself to come here. I'm watching him. He's not like running with it's a tough room to be in. Let me tell you now.
It's murder
tough room to be in terms of a depth chart.
Go be in that room right there.
You just gotta make plays to get time, and he's making plays.
Well, no, I think he's got a great story. I think that obviously exceptionally well spoken kid. But you know, having a guy like him, a speedster like him on your third and fourth string, when you have a bunch of young players that are trying to get better, it doesn't hurt anybody, right? So who knows? You know, if there's an opportunity for him here, obviously he's got a great connection with DJ Lagway, but the opportunity to make the team better is why he's here, and he's getting a great education, great opportunity here at the University of Florida, and he was an absolute pleasure to be around, and I know his mom is a big fan of the show, and certainly love the fact that she was or that he was able to be featured on the show.
Already.
Well, why don't we get into both? So obviously we're going to talk a lot about basketball today. We have Eric Fawcett coming in probably 15 or so minutes here. We're going to talk a lot about that huge weekend for the Gators. Grab that number one overall seed, grab their first SEC championship in 15 years. So huge opportunity for Florida out in the West, West region, to make a Final Four run. And I think you'd be hard pressed to find a team that's playing better than them right now, but we'll save some of that basketball talk. Nick, we're what, six practices in the spring?
There was a practice on Saturday, which I believe was number five. So next practice will be number six.
Okay. So what's the word? People are here for the behind the scenes. You're there all the time. So what's the good word, Nick?
DJ not throwing yet. Okay. the room behind him, I think you're Harrison Bailey, who is the transfer from where did Tennessee. He go? He started at Tennessee, then he went to UNLV, and then he went somewhere else.
I think he went to Western Kentucky. Hold on.
This is school number five. Louisville.
Louisville. Yeah, Tennessee, Louisville. UNLV, then Louisville.
It's Harrison Bailey and then Aiden Warner. I put a clip of the young man spinning it.
Propaganda.
On the timeline. Propaganda. A beautiful, beautiful back shoulder throw. And then as
it was a throw. Corey, it was a nice throw.
As soon as Corey retweets it, it's just a bunch of Miami trolls. And I'm just like, I just need Corey not to bring this attitude into my timeline. Instead of a beautiful back shoulder throw, it's Miami fans clowning Cormani, who continues to run with the first team and have a very good spring. The clip I showed is just a throw that really not many cornerbacks, if any,
you can't do nothing about that. Yeah,
there's nothing to do about that.
Yeah,
get your hat, like, and line back up, and you take the next rep.
There's such thing as a great defense and a better throw. Like, you could be in great position. You throw that back shoulder, there ain't nothing Cormani could do there. When you're playing yourself in spring, bro, it don't matter what clip you put up, a rival can spin it either way. Like, if your offense going crazy, your defense is food. If your defense is going crazy, your offense stinks. So, bro, it's spring. Somebody's going to get beat, you know, and one of those guys is going to be a Gator, bro. But good throw by Aiden Warner. I just know it was a PR stunt by you, bro.
No. There's been plenty of them. There's been plenty of them. I'm just not sure what – it's the first time I'm getting to be out there. First time in 13 years I'm getting to be out there for everything. So, like, I'm like, can I tweet videos of this? So – I'm like the testing the waters of what I can put out. That was not a period. My God.
You do need to tell your intern, Nick. Next time Hayden Hansen's doing that drill, we got to get the side angle. Looks a little PG-13.
Yeah, AB got 1.4 million views on that video. Got to talk to Isaac about his angles. That particular blocking drill with the tight ends, maybe not a right on shot. Got to give it a little context.
Yeah, it's like y'all check his resume. Did he work for Pornhub?
No, he might have, but certainly the ad angle, revenue dollars are now gone after your two outbursts within the first 16 minutes of the show.
No, we're safe, man.
So it's been interesting. There's the quarterback play, there's a drop off from DJ. Yeah. We're talking about a kid who I think has a chance to get a statue, be the fourth statue in front of the stadium to the rest of the guys. So it'll be interesting to see what the depth is as they build it, as they go through. And quarterback's just okay. Running back room is another one I'm really excited about. Jaden Ball, as Trayvon Webster comes back, it's been Jaden Ball, Jacoby Jackson. That's a 1-2 punch. J-Jack has some of the most personality. I think I've seen the towel spanking a football again. I know that clip went viral when he was spanking the helmet with the towel after they beat Ole Miss. Think he's found a trademark. Might have to put that on his shirt. I'm wearing the basketball shirt that we put out.
Woo!
But spring football has been good. I like the running back room, the receiver room. Haven't watched the tight ends a ton.
Not going to see much, you know?
The offensive line.
What's up with is Amir Jackson injured? Like, what's the status with him? Because I've been on tight end watch, and I know he's been out a few days.
But I would say he's in a black jersey.
Okay. I just know he's not coming up in reports, and I got people hit my DM saying, asking the status of him. So that's good to know. Who's the walk-on quarterback? It's like 20-something.
I don't know. Here's the way that I'll say it. There's two fields. Once they go to 11-on-11, once they're doing team run, there's two fields. And there's the field that has the first, second team, all the freshman receivers that they're on. And then there's another field. And he's on the other field. So, like, you're seeing clips of him throwing on air. It's 11-on-11. He's on the other field. So I'm not really paying attention to the other field. Jordan knows what I'm talking about. I'm not really paying attention.
You're really only looking at one field for real. Yeah. But my question is, how is team run looking? Is the defense killing the O-line? Is my running back finding some gaps? I know that's what I'm saying. I really want to know how it's looking like, because we could go to team running. Defense can be lights out. That's what I really want to hear, because I know we're going to be able to run the ball all year.
But yeah, there's a couple. So the defensive line, I think the tackles specifically have had some tough days. And okay. I think that's George Gums, Cam. Well, there's also an element too. Like, I watched a linebacker jump a route, and D. Will, the new defensive backs, the new cornerbacks coach, was shouting at him like, you knew the call. Like, you heard their call.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm about to say. It's understandable. Like, they go against them every day. They know our calls. They know the plays. They're obviously going to make plays. So,
yeah, I've seen some of that, Jordan.
Killing them in practice, then I know that they actually
– the offense is not killing them.
Right. I'm about to say, if the offense is killing y'all in practice, that means the defense really sucks, because the defensive coach knows the plays. He has the script. And if he can't call up something and y'all can actually stop it when he knows the play – y'all probably ain't gonna be stopping nobody all year long. So,
I think it's pretty. I think for the most part, it's been pretty even. If I gave an edge, I would say the defensive line has had the more better moments that I've seen than the offensive line has.
Right.
I really think Fletcher Westfall is kind of coming into his own. He's been Jake. He's been Austin Barber's backup at left tackle. Mm-hmm. I think Bryce Lovett is doing well at right tackle. But also, I think the defensive line might just be really good.
Who's two behind Lovett?
Caden Jones has worked over there a little bit. But like, someone was asking about Marcus Maskall. He's been on the other field. Now I am looking forward, Jordan, to like when somebody gets the call up from AAA. Right, I want to see like what the reaction's like when they're like, "Yo, 2-5, get over here," and you're like,
"What? Me? I'm on my way, coach."
I'll be there in a jiffy.
What? For real though.
I'm waiting for the call up from the backfield to the big stage. I haven't seen one of those yet, but
it's coming.
Bryce Lovett's getting some run there. Cam Waits has kind of gone back and forth. I don't know where Cam Waits will play. He has not been running with the ones. Damien George has looked good. Rod Kearney's had good moments, but I think Damien George is still holding him off for that first right guard spot. There's just a lot of guys banged up and a lot of guys that like a lot of black jerseys out there.
Is anybody from any of the European boys, anybody from across the pond making any noise, man?
Not the European boy, but I think is he from Nigeria? The Nigerian Nightmare? Before getting hurt, was making some noise as a backup to Jake Slaughter.
Okay.
Well, that's probably Nigeria, right?
I'm not sure.
I'm looking up.
Yeah, you got me. I didn't know we had people from Nigeria, bro. I thought
I'm buying whatever you're selling, because shoot, better than me.
Jason Zandamella. It just says
clear. Okay. Yeah. I remember him.
I think Nigeria, but I'm not sure. He'll be your backup center.
Pipeline like panning itself out, you know what I'm saying? Like, even with
I've learned a little bit. Like, Enoch Wangoy, I haven't seen, he's on the other field, but like, he's a guy who didn't play football at all. Like, he was a year into football when he got his scholarship, so he's got the size, and I think they're just like finding guys over there who have size. Mm-hmm. And like, we can teach them, we can teach you to football. We can't teach you to be 6'6", 350 pounds.
That remains to be seen.
Well, yeah.
That's why I'm asking. That remains to be seen. Yeah. If they could teach them, you know?
So I think, but when you're talking about a kid who's played 1 year of football before he got here, you're probably looking 3 years of development before you're running.
Gonna hit you with so many moves. You're going to be like, coach, I ain't never see that before.
Yeah.
We got the smallest gonna break out all type of moves on you.
You got a South Florida kid you facing in the trenches that been playing football since he was four.
Come on. It don't matter how big you is, he just hit you with something you ain't never thought was possible.
Nick, there was an ask about Devin Manuel. Is he doing much?
Is that there?
backup left tackle.
He looks great. Looks like he's lost weight. Okay. Looks like he lost a ton of weight. And like putting it back on. He's a tackle.
Yeah, he's a tackle. So he sure is.
How late do you stay after practice? Crazy. You see anybody getting a little extra work? What's the word on that?
The entire receiver room. So there was one day in particular that I thought that the offensive tackles did not have a good day. I was kind of standing behind the whole group. They break after practice, every position group breaks off to go to their position coach.
Yeah.
And they, after Billy talks to the whole team, they get the position group debrief. And listening to Rob Sale and then listening to like Austin Barber talking to them. It's like, hey, we need to come in tomorrow. No egos, watch this film and get better from it. So like I could tell, like, hey, they know that they didn't have a good day.
Right. That's good.
There was too many parties at the quarterback. Looks like the quarterback was with Dan on a boys' trip out of the bender. There was just a bunch of defensive linemen in the club partying at the quarterback.
Whoa.
And like those offensive linemen stayed and they were working drills after. The receivers, they've credited Ricky Pearsall. I talked with a couple of the coaches about it, and they're like, no, we just asked the guys to catch 100 balls a day off the jugs every single day, whether it's, hey, I got to the facility before class and I did 50 before class, I'm going to do 50 after, or if it's like, hey, I'm going to catch 100 after practice. The entire receiver room leaves the field and goes over the indoor and they catch 100 balls off the jugs. That's been really cool to see. It's not like it's the entire room. There's like 12 guys over there catching balls off the jugs after every single practice.
You got to love that, man. That type of stuff.
And then I've seen some of the younger defensive backs going over and working, you know, back pedals and stuff like that. So yeah, there's definitely, and I think a lot of that might be Q, Quincy, and T's being up here.
Yeah.
I've talked to T's.
Spring is the time, man. I'm saying spring is the time where you can kind of, obviously you're not looking forward to playing a whole season right now. Like obviously, yes, in the fall, we're going to play a whole season, but spring is a time where you can get those extra reps in after practice and kind of push your body through all the pain right now. So it's already on you once you get to training camp and once you get to the season, like, cause you can work out now and work out for the next 2 weeks, but you won't see the results until next month. So if they putting in the work now, it's going to pay off when training camp come and you competing for your spot. It's going to pay off when the first game of the season come and a lot of people rusty if you've been working on your craft from now. So like spring is the time where you kind of really want to dig deep and take them extra long days on putting in that extra work at the practice, even though you know it, you've seen the stress load on spring practice. You're getting after it, drill after drill, moving constantly, period after period. It's still the same intensity as regular practice, but I just like to hear that those boys are kind of getting that extra work in and taking that extra step. It'd be great.
I talked real quick. I talked to one of the coaches because, like, first day of practice, O-line and D-line were getting into it.
Of course.
Some extracurriculars. Getting into it.
You know
first day of practice. No
pads. Non-contact. Ooh, that's
first day of practice. Well, listen, there was contact. There was contact. Now, it's not a good day. So they wear, like, they call them spiders, which – almost look like shoulder pads, but they don't, but they're not. And I made the comment to one of the coaches. I was like, coach, this looks like practice 10 of summer. not practice one of spring. He said, that's our culture. He's like, it's taken time to build that culture, but that's our culture now. And we've had guys who have been in the program for 3 years now. And if you're a new kid and you're coming in, that expectation of what we do, whether it's workout at 6:30 in the morning or if it's practice, is told to you. And if you're not going to meet the expectation, cool. The portal will be open in the spring. And you can head out. But that's our expectation. I'm like, all right, cool. That's good to hear. And I just saw it with my eyes. Got to have some controlled aggression. But, yeah, there was some aggression. Practice one of spring. And I'm like, boys, you've got a long way to go.
Right.
You've got so many more practices. It's 62 degrees out here. It's not even like you got hot and angry. It was perfect weather. Jay Michael Sturdivant looked at me because I told him how like hot it gets here. And he's like, bro, this feels like California. And I said, just you wait. Just you wait, man. Don't celebrate. Don't practice the selling now. Because
generational humidity, brother.
August is coming, my friends.
Yes, sir. He's got to have an idea. Like, it'll start hitting them in next, like, May.
We had one practice. So, like, practice last Thursday when we got out there, it was like 78, 82.
Mm-hmm.
And getting a little humid. But then, like, the sun went down and it's in the 60s again. And I'm like, there it is. See, I told him. I let him know. Oops, sorry. I let him know. I was like, you don't understand yet. When you go to spring camp or summer camp, fall camp, you're playing football under the water.
Right.
But J Mike is a dude. I don't know what the coaching staff, what their scheme was, how they planned on using him, how bad the team was. This kid can play football.
For sure. Yeah, Billy don't miss on wide receiver evals, bro. You can bank on that. You feel me? It's a lot of things. You may not like that triple reverse, but you know who better than triple reverse is gonna be legit. he's really a bad play call, but he's gonna be nice.
He can turn average receivers to great receivers too. I've seen that happen.
Yeah, knowing how to run routes is a thing. Like, it ain't all that just even about like top end speed. Like, Jerry Rice was a 4.6 guy, but he could put you in a blender. How much like competitiveness in spring camp from your experience, Jordan, like depth chart wise, how many people lose jobs? Like, what's the mentality of the players going into it? Is like, I need to earn my job now before fall camp. Like, what's the, like, usually the vibe there?
I think the intensity is really high, like almost the same as training camp, as if you're competing for a job, because, you know, that's when the NFL scouts come out there every now and then. So all the boys that's ready to take that next level step, they know they got to put their best foot forward at every moment in practice, whether it's just warming up, like everything. They're on point because they know they see a little dude in the little Kansas City outfit with his little hat, whatever. You feel me? They want to have an A game on. It ain't time to play around. So I feel like spring is almost just as important as training camp, because, you know, you got the scouts out there. If this your money year, you kind of want to show your behind, show that you can play. And as well as for the up-and-coming dudes who are trying to compete for a spot, I mean, you also looking at it like, well, if I can show this dude that I can beat out the senior right now, I'm trying to get on the radar early. Like, especially if the dudes that are on that tweener of, like, maybe I can leave my junior year or I should maybe stay in my senior year. Like, those kind of guys who are kind of a little bit farther on the depth chart, kind of trying to make a mark for their name and stuff like that. So I feel like it's really high intensity, man, just off the strength of that. You got the NFL reps around there showing their face, so it ain't just like we just hitting each other for no reason.
Right. Hey, Nick, I know he's out injured right now. He's not throwing as much as practice, but what is DJ normally doing at practice? We see him just taking mental reps, but like vocal, is he still lead survives?
There's not a lot of the way the practice is structured, there's not like there's not a lot of opportunities to lead if you're not running through team run.
Right.
Like, he's, when they do 7-on-7 or team run, he's the one that is calling the plays. I think they're telling DJ what the play is, and he's calling the play in. He's sitting there watching it. The first rep of a lot of the drills, even if it's a throwing drill, he will get the rep and kind of go through it and go through the progressions. And he's when it comes time, everything looks full speed until it comes time to throw, and he's not throwing.
Mm-hmm.
it has been good to see him do that stuff. Like, obviously you'd rather he'd be 100% and be playing. But it's not something I don't think we're worried about long-term. You're just being precautious. Cause it's spring football. It's March. Yeah. You got a long time till August. I think it does take a little bit of the excitement out of like the spring game, stuff like that. But in terms of being there, he's there. He has to go over and do some like running stuff. My goodness, some of the stuff that him and the other guys are just like running during stuff where like individual stuff where he's not throwing, just going and getting conditioning in. But yeah, that's not a lot to do if you're not throwing the football.
Yeah. Well, let's pause football there as we welcome Eric Fawcett from Florida Basketball Hour. Before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Homefield Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code
Stadium and Gale at checkout. You'll get 15% off of your order. They have the new baseball pullovers. They have the jackets. They have some basketball stuff that they just released. So go check them out. Homefieldapparel.com. Stadium and Gale at checkout will get you 15% off of your order. With that, we welcome maybe our most recurring guest of all time, Eric Fawcett from the Great White North, to talk about the Gators being a number one seed in basketball. We've gone through a lot on this podcast where the Gators were not even close to being a number one seed. And we had Eric on before the season started, said that we had the makings of a good team here, and we'll see what they become. And certainly, in my opinion, one of the best resumes in the country, if not the best, especially considering the end of the year. So, Eric, it's a pleasure to have you back, brother.
Yeah, it's good to be on. I mean, I really did pad those numbers of appearances, I think, earlier in the podcast life. But it's good to be back on, because, I mean, man, for all the times that I've been on the show, we have not had a team like this to talk about. That is for sure. Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I used to be able to see it in Silk's face when he was trying to muster up any kind of enthusiasm for an 8 or 9 or 10 rough. Speed team. you were doing your best, but now there's a legit
Corey was here, like, on camera being like, all right, Eric, tell me about this.
I got three Blanco jokes.
SEC basketball team.
It was rough, yeah. Man. But you know, good times ahead, man. We're in a good position right now.
So, Eric, the Gators run through the SEC championship, beating each of their opponents by double digits. And really at no point, there were certainly some runs along the way that some of their opponents had, but really at no point did you ever think that the Gators were in doubt of losing that game. It seemed like the media kept moving the needle on if Florida would be a one seed. Would they be a one seed already? And then it was, oh, they've got to beat they've got to win at least one game, they'll be a one seed. And then they got to win the semifinal game, then they'll be a one seed. And then it was like, well, whoever wins between Florida and Tennessee, they'll be a one seed. Florida put all of that to bed by winning. But Eric, I mean, just looking at, I want to talk about where Florida's seeded, right? So they're the fourth number one seed. And I know that a lot goes into that. You're talking about quad one victories and what your out of conference schedule looks like. And, you know, Florida's out of conference schedule this year just didn't amount to much. I mean, you had some brands on there. You think Florida got a little, and it doesn't matter, you're still one seed. You think Florida got robbed a little bit on being the fourth number one seed?
I don't think so. I think for starters, there's going to be a lot of people that'll point to what I said before the season, when I certainly didn't think they were a one seed kind of caliber team. And people are like, oh, Eric, like, you know, you were so wrong. Like, how good the team is. And that's awesome. Happy to be wrong on that one. But I'll tell you this, Florida's coaching staff certainly didn't think that they were going to be a one seed, because if they did, they would have scheduled a lot better. And that's the thing, is Florida played a really, really soft non-conference schedule, where the other teams that got one seeds or were in the mix for one seeds, such as like an Alabama or Tennessee, and, you know, the teams that Florida went to jump, went and scheduled a ton of tough games so that they could build up that equity, so that they could take some losses and still be in a position where, of course, Florida had to do what they did and really roll through the SEC and SEC tournament to do that. So, the other thing too, is I think a lot of people that suggest that Florida should be the number one overall seed or better are looking at, well, they beat Auburn, who was the number one overall seed, head to head. Well, the committee doesn't look at head to head results like that. They also look at, oh, Florida won the SEC, which I'll remind everyone, by any metric, by any evaluators looking at this league, like, this is like one of the, not just the strongest the SEC has ever been, this is one of the strongest conferences college basketball has ever seen. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, Florida winning the SEC tournament, they're always going to have that. Whatever happens here in March, that is quite the accomplishment. And like you kind of said, Dan, they left no doubt. They won three games by a combined 45 points and went through good ones. But I do think that Florida was placed appropriately. I know a lot of people disagree, but I do think it's very important to separate how good a team is from what their resume is. You can absolutely argue that Florida is the best team in the country, and you can absolutely, there's a whole bunch of ammunition for that. And you can use the head-to-head win over Auburn to suggest why you think Florida is the best team in the country, but who is best is different from your body of work. And Florida deciding to schedule a bunch of ACC teams that weren't very good and then turn out to be worse than Florida could have even imagined just left it that there wasn't a lot of meat on the bone, and Florida's resume was large in the SEC, where other teams such as an Auburn had a great resume for what they did in the ACC or SEC, and then also had a bunch of marquee non-conference wins. So again, this will be interesting to see what Florida does this next season, presuming they're feeling pretty confident, because I'm going to bet that they schedule a lot more aggressively and make it so they don't need to run through the SEC and win the SEC tournament just to secure their spot as a one seed.
Yeah.
It's interesting. What there's a lot of, I mean, when you look at it, the run they had against Alabama, Auburn, also away from home or on neutral sites, is impressive, but it's really the whole body of work that you're saying that the committee looks into. What could Florida have done, if anything? Hey, don't lose to Missouri at home, maybe. But what could they have done to change? There's only a couple losses to even talk about, but what could they have done to maybe not be the 1-4 and to be the first overall or first, second overall outside of, you know, scheduling a little bit tougher early on in the year?
It does come down to scheduling, because in terms of the predictive metrics that come from blowing out really good teams and like Florida did in the SEC, that was all great. And none of those losses, like I saw you searching for a second, because you were like, one of those losses, they didn't have bad losses. All of the losses were even the one to Mike White in Georgia that a lot of people didn't like. I mean, that was still a road game in a quad one scenario, a high value game. So honestly, it wasn't any of the losses that dinged Florida. It was just the fact they didn't have as much on the top end as a Duke, as a Houston, as an Auburn, really even as an Alabama lost a little bit more, which ultimately made the difference there. But that's really the only thing. And again, that's when you're seeding 64 teams and there's a number of great teams vying for the top. It's small margins here. Yeah. And if you just schedule more challenging games, you leave yourself a little bit of runway. Florida didn't leave themselves much room, because I don't believe they thought that they were going to be a one seed caliber team, or they would have scheduled harder. And they just left themselves in a position where they did have to go through pretty much unscathed. And that's just exactly what they did. They went through unscathed. They blew a ton of really good teams out and still ultimately got a one seed. And I think that when you're a one seed, you start to get those favorable matchups in the bracket, to the point where you can certainly look at Florida going on a run.
It stopped me. My basketball, especially college basketball, knowledge is a wealth of knowledge. They kind of look like UConn towards the end of last year. We're like, UConn, no matter who UConn was playing, they're winning by 10, 11, 12, 15 points. Like Florida's, like you've mentioned, just blowing really good teams out of the water, like taking them out of games. They've started slow. I think they've kind of changed that earlier on in the year. They were starting slow, and you'd be like, why does every team have a guy having the game of his life shooting the ball in the first half against us? And then all of a sudden they would put the clamps on in the second half. But it looks like kind of the UConn towards the end of last year, where you're just blowing out really good teams. Like, they don't even look competitive towards the end of games.
Yeah, that's something that I think is so impressive. And even you look at that SEC championship game, Rick Barnes, the head coach of Tennessee, went up in the postgame press conference and was like, I thought we played really well. And I agree with him. I thought Tennessee played one of their best games of the season. And they lost by 9 on a neutral floor. Well, not even a really neutral floor, because in Nashville it was almost all Tennessee. Or, I mean, there's good Florida contingent, but still, you know, definitely more Tennessee fans. And Tennessee played one of their best games of the season and lost to the Gators by 9. That speaks to what Florida's doing. And again, college basketball is such a long season. And one of the issues we do have when evaluating these teams is, you know, why were some of these teams ahead of Florida? It's because of wins they got in November. That November seems like a world ago. If you're someone who's looking at filling out your bracket and you want to see who can win a championship based on who is playing the best basketball right now, it's pretty universal that Florida's had the best last month of anyone out of this in college basketball. Auburn's kind of limping into the, and again, they played two meaningless games at the end of the SEC regular season where they'd already locked up number one, and they were screwing around and playing different lineups and threw it a zone that sucked, and they just kept it out. So they were messing around a little bit, but it's hard to turn that it's hard to flick things back on once you've already flipped it off. And you saw that in the SEC tournament where they didn't make it to the championship game. So they're not playing particularly well. Cooper Flagg's banged up for Duke. Houston didn't play in as tough of a league. They kind of do their thing. They play defense and offensive rebound. But Florida, I think by most people's evaluations, would be playing the best basketball right now. And that's really what the goal of the college basketball season is, being so long, is can you play your best basketball in March and head into a one game elimination tournament with all kinds of confidence. And I mean, like for Florida, I mean, you run through Missouri and Alabama and Tennessee in the SEC tournament. Those are three tougher games than even if they were to get to the national championship game, they're not playing a three game stretch as challenging as what they just did. So that doesn't speak to
Norfolk. Norfolk has played in a great season, Eric. Conference champions.
Hey, I'm a big Norfolk State fan. We can get into that, but still, I'm gonna say I'd give Missouri an edge on a neutral floor. Just
okay. Fair enough.
Fair enough. So I got a question for you, Eric. If you were to pick maybe two to three teams that possibly could give us a run for our money within this tournament, like who would you be scared of? Who matches up with us size-wise? Because I feel like that's our advantage as Florida. We have size on the floor as well as great perimeter players who can shoot the ball from anywhere. So who do you think in this tournament can really give us a challenge and who is kind of scaring you moving forward?
So I would say the two teams in Florida's region that just might give you a little bit of pause, it would start with Maryland, who they would see in the Sweet 16, likely if Maryland gets there. Okay. They're the one team that, again, you hit the nail on the head, who has the size to keep up with Florida's front court.
Yeah, like Maryland does. Sizing with us is really nobody can hang with us if they don't got the size.
Yeah, that's it. And Derek Queen is just this outstanding, bouncy, physical, big man, future lottery pick. He is someone who could give the Gator, again, a little bit more just like bulk and physicality than Florida's dealing with, and also still has a lot of skill, can face up. He's a huge challenge. And then Julian Reese, who's the brother of Angel Reese, who a lot of people will be familiar with.
Wow.
Okay. So again, he's like 6'9", 250 starting a power. So it's one of the things, one of the reasons that they were able to roll through their league was they were playing this really dynamic front court that is, you know, dare I say, Florida-esque. So those two players, I think, are fantastic. Now, Florida's guards are much, much better than Maryland. And that's why overall the matchup wouldn't concern me a whole bunch, but that is like the one front court that kind of matches up with Florida's happens to be in their pod. So there's a right chance you run into Maryland and you see two of the best front courts getting a bunch of offensive rebounds, finishing everything. I think that is one thing to be a challenge. And then I would say the other team is, naturally Florida's the one. I do think the two seed St. John's in their pod could give the Gators issues, largely because their guards are so, so, so tough defensively and so disruptive. And if you're looking for one reason why Florida might struggle against someone in this tournament, it is the fact that they don't really have a true point guard. Walter Clayton is tremendous. Ball handling is not his forte. And again, it's almost like a joke with a lot of Florida fans that he has like two pick sixes a game and it doesn't even matter because he just goes and scores 25 and pulls from the logo. But like, he will get his pocket picked clean. He will throw it right into the head. Like, it's just, again, Florida doesn't play with a true point guard.
And they can
struggle with some of these teams that are really, really aggressive. And that is St. John's. St. John's lacks any offensive upside. That's where you just look at Florida shot making and you say, you know what, Walter Clayton could turn it over six times and Florida could still win the game. But again, I do think that would be a matchup that would be concerning because of the guards. And St. John's does have good size in the front court, guys that aren't particularly skilled. So guys that could probably slow down a Florida front court, but they're not going to outscore them. They're not going to totally keep them off the glass. But yeah, and again, it's, you know, they're a two seed for a reason. And obviously Rick Pitino is Rick Pitino. I think just seeing him, you might bust out the all white suit on the sideline and that'll put some fear in the people. While I like this St. John's team, I still think Florida really matches up generally with that, I'll call it genre of team. Like, there's a couple teams at the top of college basketball that are like defend really hard, rebound the basketball, play in transition. And I've always thought that Florida really matched up with those teams really, really well. And I think that a perfect example was this Tennessee SEC tournament championship game, where Tennessee plays that way and they played awesome and Florida beat them by 9. Yeah. And I think that was something that kind of reiterated to me that while I think that St. John's could offer problems because of some of their guards' disruptiveness defensively, I really don't think the teams in the like Michigan State, Houston, Tennessee, St. John's, like that like genre of team, I think Florida handles really, really well. So talking about like, you know, did Florida get a good place in the bracket? Did it all work out? That's, I say, yeah, because the two seed in the region is a St. John's team that I do think they would match up fairly well with if it came to that to make a Final Four.
I saw an analytic graphic of like where everyone shoots it from. And it's like, what, it's what you would expect now. Lots of threes and then lots of like right under the rim. St. John's? Lots of long twos.
Everyone.
Tons of long twos. Right. Very limited from beyond the arc. Looked like a 1970s shot chart. Lots from right around the key. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Rick Pitino just like, you know what? I can't. Analytics, schmantalytics. We're not going to do it.
Eric, I think the team is like built. Like some of the SEC we're going to play, like they're really good, you know, that we play over, like throughout the year. And it seems like we were having like struggles in the first half, but more so as the season went on, to me, it was like, yeah, they may start good, but we play such good defense. How long? Like, cause the pressure, there's no drop off when we go to the bench. It's hard for those guys to be able to keep up with our offensive pace facing our defense for two halves. And that's been a thing. Even with Tennessee, when they made a run to get back into the game, I didn't even panic because I'm like, the defense is too tough for those guys to keep pace with what we're doing on offense. And I don't see many teams, it's not like we got to play the games, but I don't see many teams that's going to be able to sustain that type of pressure a full game. Even when we get in foul trouble, whoever comes in the game, there's no drop off. Like our subs, to me, there's not a lot of talent drop off on either end of the court.
Yeah, you look at Thomas Houck, who has been, you know, he's Florida's sixth man, but anytime down the stretch, if Florida does play a close game, which doesn't actually happen that often because they usually blow people out, like Houck is on the floor and he's been tremendous and someone who can knock down shots, someone who can handle the ball and drive bigger guys down the lane. And when you look at, you know, Nick, you mentioned some of these analytics that are coming out. One of them that you'll see everywhere too is like Florida's, well, their best five players, which is four starters, plus Thomas Houck in the game for Ruben Chinyelu. That is like one of the best five player combinations in all of college basketball. They've just been running everyone out of the gym. And then you still look at some of the other players coming off the bench. Like, and I mean, this is a bigger conversation about who should be eligible or not in college basketball. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but Florida's has a guy coming off the bench named Urban Klobzar, who played for Real Madrid, one of the best teams in the world outside the NBA, in 2020. He's been playing professional basketball since 2020 when he was 16 Good. Years old.
Good.
So he's been so this is a guy that like comes off the bench as someone who's got like over 100 international or high level professional games in Spain under his belt. And I mean, like that's Florida's like second guard off the bench sometimes after Denzel Aberdeen. And then something I'll mention, it has been an incredible story in a world of NIL and players going to get their own. Micah Hanlockton, coming off the gruesome leg injury, says, you know, I don't really care about getting this year back for a redshirt year. We'll figure that out down the line. I don't care about my earning potential NIL. I'm coming back, even if it means burning one of my years of eligibility. And now the Gators, whose front court was already really good, suddenly has Micah Hanlockton, their starter from last year, coming off the bench. And I've said it a number of times in my writing and podcast, but like Micah Hanlockton is playing significantly better this year than he did last year, which is just unthinkable.
Oh, incredible. If
you unfortunately saw the injury that he sustained, and even taking it away, he couldn't play for 10 months and he came back and was already better than the player he was last year and infinitely more intelligent on the offensive end and so much more of a weapon there and physically bigger and stronger and more about. So like, it's just one of those things, like talking about Florida's bench, the way that they have one of the best six men in Thomas Howe. They have someone who's gone for 20 in multiple occasions, like a Denzel Aberdeen. They've got like a 4-year Spanish pro in Urban Klobzar, and then they've got Micah Hanlocked in their starter from last. Like the bench is outrageous, and it's just one of those things that I do think depth can be overrated sometimes in the NCAA tournament. There's extra long TV timeouts, so rest isn't as much of a, like, players can play a few more minutes than normal. It's all drawn out. But at the same time, I just think you need dudes ready that can come in and make an impact, because if you're going to win 6 games in a row, you're not going to do it all in the same way. You're going to need to win a game that's in the 60s, and you're going to need to win a game in the 90s. Some of your starter stuff is going to be taken out by scouting. You need weapons off the bench who can come in and make something happen unexpectedly. And, you know, I just mentioned there's 4 guys off Florida's bench that most teams in this tournament would be happy to start, and maybe they're not going to play 6 games of 20 minutes off the bench, really big impact. But Florida needs each of those guys to just have one big moment of 15 minutes off the bench where they knock down a couple shots, get a few key offensive rebounds, make a big play. And it's just, if you're looking for guys that like have that ability to be impacts, to make an impact, like Florida just like has more bites at the apple than anyone else in this tournament.
So Eric, Norfolk State, I know you said that you liked him. Florida hopefully won't have a problem with them, but what kind of basketball team are they, and what should fans be ready to watch for at 6:50 Eastern time on Friday?
Yeah, so they have an incredible coach named Robert Jones. He's been there for 12 years and he's just 45. Now, you guys are going to love this. So he's from South Jamaica, Queens. So when he was in college playing Division III basketball, getting into coaching, he was also a promoter for 50 Cent before 50 Cent popped off. Robert Jones has just an incredible story of, he was a guy that was like coaching division, like playing Division III basketball, then coaching Division III basketball while promoting for 50 Cent. And again, if that tells you how long he's been in the game, despite being only 45 years old, he was doing that before 50 Cent popped off. So tells you a little bit about his personality, but he's an incredible coach.
He was promoting in the club. He's been around the block.
So Robert Jones, like Robert Jones is someone who has turned Norfolk State into just a power in that league. I even suggested that Florida should have interviewed him when they had the opening 3 years ago. He's just running that league and turning it into a position where, like, honestly, if you are looking for a position that Florida got screwed in the bracket, there's no way Norfolk should have been a 16 seed. I think something that you'll see is everyone is kind of picking High Point as that's like everyone's trendiest pick mid-major wise is for High Point to upset Purdue and go on a run. Norfolk State beat High Point earlier in the season on the road. So I think the first thing to kind of look at with Norfolk is just the fact that they have a lot bigger and more athletic players than you would expect from a 16 seed. So they are physically tough. They are bouncy. They've had a ton of highlights all year long from guys throwing down monster dunks, and they play really smart. Like I said, Robert Jones is an incredible coach and he has those guys playing connected, and they're an amazing cutting team, amazing passing team. The problem with Norfolk State is that league is not very good and everyone just plays really junky zones. They play really like garbage trapping full court presses, and it's just one of those things that I don't feel like Norfolk State is ever fully prepared to play against high major teams. And while they've been really, really good in the regular season, they made some tournaments. Recently, they've just gotten absolutely thrashed in the first round of the NCAA tournament,
right,
which again, they've built a style that really works to dominate that league. And which again, I think if you're Norfolk State and you're Robert Jones, that's what you do. You build your roster to dominate your league and get to the tournament. You don't build your team to like maybe have a slightly better chance if you see Florida in the first round. So it's one of those things that I think that everyone will really respect watching this game, how hard Norfolk State plays, how intelligent they play, the quality of some of their players. I also do not think it's a team that's going to push Florida. If you're looking for the reason that it might be like, you know, slightly close at the first TV timeout and you're like, oh, why isn't Florida pulled away? They will, again, because of that league they play in, they will throw out a bunch of really novelty kind of zones just to really try to confuse their opponent. And especially going up against Florida, they're not going to try to make it a man-to-man game where you just play conventional basketball against Florida. That's how you lose by 100. So they'll throw the kitchen sink at the Gators, and it'll make for, could make for an interesting 4 or 5 minutes. But ultimately, yeah, Florida, you, like Nick, you mentioned earlier, Florida just like doesn't have bad losses this year. That's one of the things that the defense and rebounding and size puts Florida's floor just so high that it's just hard to imagine them getting picked off. And yeah, so again, really glad everyone is that we're spending 5 minutes time on Norfolk State. Glad people are going to learn about a great team and a great coach. But I don't think you'll be hearing too much about them after their first round game with the Gators.
Well, so then after that is either Oklahoma or UConn. Florida beat Oklahoma by 22, 85 to 63 back in the middle of February. Obviously didn't play UConn this year. Not the same probably UConn team that's won back-to-back national championships. Because of the familiarity with Oklahoma, would you think that Florida would match up a little bit better against them? Or give us kind of a couple-second rundown on that matchup and who you think Florida might stack up better against?
Yeah, Oklahoma's really weird. They have this they have a guy named Jeremiah Fears who's outstanding. They have Jalen Moore, a forward, who's outstanding. And then I think that everyone else on their team is just not high major level players. And you just saw that kind of what Silk was saying. Like they kind of hung with the Gators for 10 minutes because their two guys are really good. And then when it came to guys 3 to 9, Florida just completely overwhelmed them. That's the kind of team in the SEC that the Gators have just rolled through this year. And I do think because of the familiarity, that's one that just doesn't scare you a whole bunch. And I do think UConn beats them. I think the Gators will play UConn. But I do think it's very important to just – I'll remind you now, this is not the UConn that was winning back-to-back championships. They have one starter back from last year's team. Other than that, it's all their bench players that have had to take huge steps up, and they did not do very well in the transfer portal. They took a big man from Michigan, who Michigan was pretty much like, you know, please, we'll help you pack on the way out. And then kind of the second or third best player, whatever, from St. Mary's, who was a really good mid-major team on the West Coast, but he was not, you know, not the engine that made that thing work. And they took him. So that's not going well. So it really is a team in UConn that you just look at their roster and it's just not very talented. And you can obviously look at the head coach who's done a lot of good things the last 2 years and have some fear. But I know that there's going to be people that say like, are you kidding me? Florida has to play the two-time national champions.
There's a little PTSD. There's a little PTSD for some older Gators having to see Shabazz. So for the young people in the chat who, you know, might've been in diapers when that happened, which makes me feel even grayer than I am. UConn does seem historically a little bit of a boogeyman. Might not be the same five or the same 12.
I will never forget Shabazz Napier, not only because of that game, but because LeBron James like politicked for the Miami Heat to draft him, and they did, and then he left right after, and then we were stuck with maybe the worst version of Shabazz Napier in his basketball career. So it's go Gators, obviously, always, but especially that one.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and that's a thing that I think you look at UConn and like they're an 8 seed for a reason. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like this is that just talent wise, they're about an 8 seed. They again have great coaching, but again, whether it be the fact that they've won the last two national championships or the PTSD that you mentioned, Nick, I don't think that people should be awfully concerned about this UConn team. Just and I think it'll take like 90 seconds from the opening tip for a lot of people to be like, wow, Florida is just a lot more talented.
Well, Eric, maybe we can bring you on next week and kind of do a recurring thing. You know, we don't certainly have to go for, 32 minutes again.
We need a full Florida basketball hour here. Did Eric and Neil see if they can play enough zone.
Fans love it.
See if we can get enough zone, if they can play enough zone to field our bad basketball questions. If they can swat them away and make us, along with everyone watching us, more knowledgeable.
Oh, Wolf Gator is just having a ball in the comments, man. He's
who? Malik Wolf Gator. Has been
Eric's biggest fan, man.
Eric's biggest fan.
All right, on Wolf Gator.
Shout out to the old University of Florida Seal as your profile picture too. Well, Eric, man, we appreciate you as always. Florida Basketball Hour is by far one of the best podcasts that you can listen to just about sports in general, and definitely revolve around the Florida Gators and certainly Florida Gators basketball. So Eric, let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter. Mind you, if you follow Eric on X or Twitter, whatever we're calling it these days, it's It's going to be highly analytical. You're going to learn some things and you're going to feel stupid at times because Eric will be like, here's this play that is incredible to watch, and be like, man, that just looks like a basketball play to me. But Eric knows how to break it down. So Eric,
some of the names too are wild.
Yeah, the Twitter account has gone quite corporate, I suppose, with the coaching I do outside of covering the Gators. So maybe not the best place to follow me, but if you're a real sicko, Eric Fawcett _ is a place for you. But definitely GatorCountry.com. You can see my writing and Florida Basketball Hour, the podcast. We also have a Patreon where, again, we do mostly, well, at least I do mostly film stuff. So if you want to, you know, we talked about Norfolk State. If you're someone who wants to see 20 minutes of Norfolk State film breakdown, we do that there. But anyways, yeah, it's been, I mean, I joked about it, but I'm 100% serious. I know you guys had to struggle with some pretty boring segments from like 2018 to 2021 or whenever you used to have me on a ton. Yeah. And it's certainly a lot more exciting now. So I hope you guys and everyone that's listening or watching that maybe hasn't been the biggest basketball fan over the last since Billy Donovan, I hope you enjoy getting an opportunity to get back into it.
Well, well, Eric, can we
get to a point where y'all leave my guy Mike White alone? I just saw
never.
Big tournament like, birth for Georgia this year. So he took them to the promised land.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I've spent many perfect days match watching an NIT team here at Florida. I'm sure that will get you an extension in Georgia, though.
The first pick I made was Gonzaga over Georgia. I didn't think twice. I didn't look at the analytics. I didn't look at the spread. There's just something about Mike White showing up in whatever city they're going to be with an unprepared basketball team with a 9-minute stretch where they'll have 7 points all by free throws, you know? By the way, yeah, Eric.
That's an historic run. 7 points in a 9-minute stretch.
We've got to do something, you and I, not really me, you, about fixing SEC officiating. Absolutely egregious. Some things are getting called some games. Some things aren't getting called other games. There was a point in time where there was, I think, 7 or 8 minutes left. There was 46 fouls. I don't even know what they ended up with. The game against Alabama that they won, the last minute and 38 seconds took 19 total, like real life minutes to get through. We've got to do something about basketball, man.
Is Pat Adams on your Christmas card list?
Man, we could talk about college basketball officiating and what we need to do. I mean, I'll tell you this quickly. I think the biggest problem with officiating in college basketball is that there's no such thing as SEC refs or Big Ten refs or ACC refs. These guys are all independent contractors that take as many games as they can. So if I were to just pull it up right now, which I could, so like Doug Shows is a name that all the basketball fans listening will not like. So if I pull it up right now, he officiated 84 basketball games this year. 84 basketball games. Yeah, so usually man. 6 or 7 a week.
That's a guy that's hungry.
So this is a guy that did Middle Tennessee versus Louisiana Tech in the Conference USA tournament at 3:49 p.m. in Nashville, and then was in Huntsville, Alabama. And he was in Nashville the next day at 7 p.m. for Alabama, Kentucky. Before that, he was in New Orleans. The day before, he was in New Orleans.
Is he a pilot?
Nobody knows one.
You know, so I could go on, but if I had to really boil down a lot of the officiating is the fact that the SEC doesn't have SEC officials. They subcontract out to these guys that are doing 80 games a year that are just looking towards their next flight to get which you wouldn't know by how long they really drag out the end of these games with reviews. But these guys are just overworked. Can you imagine going from a Conference USA first round game to an SEC semifinal game? The difference in athletes you're officiating suddenly and how having to try to show some level of consistency. It's a major problem. I could go on about this for a long time, but like you said, we're well into longer than you expected to have me on. We certainly don't need to be talking about Conference USA officiating.
I know you would.
Like Eric said earlier, if you want to nerd out, you can follow
as if there's any doubt.
You can follow him on X.
Final question, Eric. What's the weather are you still in Edmonton?
Still in Edmonton. It was 37 or 38 today and sunny. Still cold. Wow. Man. It's still cold. Still snow on the ground.
38 Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Celsius, Nick. I did it for you. Yeah. It would be a much tougher situation. We'd have a much different global warming discussion. 37 or 38 degrees Celsius. All right, Eric. Well, we appreciate you you coming onto the show again at Eric Fawcett underscore on X. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
Cool.
Thank you for it, brother. Appreciate you.
All right.
All right. Wolf Gator asked before, how was the overall experience at Spurrier's? Spurrier's was great. If you've not been, and that was the first time that I've been, Nick, obviously I know you've been, Jordan or Corey, had you guys been?
First timer for me, bro. We're both first timers. I was very impressed. I filled up on bundt cakes and all the food that they had to offer. It was a great experience. Obviously, I don't think it'll be like that for everybody who goes there every other weekend. But from what I've heard, the food is amazing there every other day. And the service is great there. It's a real beautiful place when you walk in the memorabilia from upstairs to downstairs. You can make it upstairs if you're cool enough. But it's enough memorabilia downstairs to actually have you amazed. So overall, I was impressed, man.
Being upstairs is open, I think, weekends only, visors.
Okay. I didn't know. I thought that was some exclusive VIP stuff to get up there. But overall, man, I'm impressed. When I was going to school at UF, that whole celebration point side was so – it was only a Nike outlet over there and a movie theater. Yeah. Nothing else. Like, so to go over there and see that it's building up and it's nice and they got a lot of restaurants, like,
yeah,
I'm happy for the community, man. All the Gainesville peeps out there living it out there. And go check out Spurrier's if you haven't checked it out yet. I was very impressed. I will definitely be back next time I'm in.
I had the hummus. Ain't a lot for me to eat on that menu, but the hummus was fire.
Okay, I forgot you ain't eating all that stuff that was in there. I'm eating everything. Me and Dan tearing up everything.
You forgot that Silk's real job is yoga instructor.
Like, man, hey, respect my name, man.
Also, peep some game. If you are in town, if you can find parking over there, there is a shuttle that will run you from Celebration to the stadium and back after the
game. Oh, wow.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, no, that whole area is really cool. I mean, Jordan talked about their Nike outlet being there. I think when I was there, there was just a wooded area. Obviously, you had Butler Plaza. Now you have the kind of the connection point, you know, beyond that over to Celebration Point. That whole area is beautiful. But no, definitely check it out. It's a big restaurant. And then Visors upstairs was kind of the staging area. And there's some interviews that happened up there. Beautiful spot. Thank you to Spurrier's. Thank you to the DJ Lagway Foundation for putting it on there. Really glad that I got to go. Cause every time I go, I'm like, man, I want to go check this place out, but it never usually fits in the schedule. So
and the bartenders were great.
Shout
out to the bartenders, man.
So it was on a liquid diet.
Yeah. It was, man, I don't know what tequila drink that was, man, but she had it. She was doing her thing with it, bro.
Yeah, I had me one towards the end of the night. It wasn't too bad, nah. It was nice.
And if you go to Spurrier's, my favorite, the short rib with a little mushroom risotto is fantastic. Ooh, so you could have the mushroom risotto portion of that.
Yeah, my boy lives in Gainesville. Brandon said their brunch is amazing there. He said
bottomless brunch. Yep. Yeah, So if you were there for the Lagway event, they had a kind of like a serve yourself buffet kind of thing open. Yeah. That's what they do for brunch. You can order omelets, but they've got like a build your own brunch station with bottomless mimosas.
Yeah, you got to. That's the only way to brunch, baby.
Right. What's a brunch without bottomless?
That's just lunch.
It is just lunch.
Bottomless mimosas usually end up with other people bottomless. All right, let's see.
Daniel.
Let's see. Let's give a quick shout out on that note to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Nick is hoarding a small country's GDP's worth of cup sports that he's got to give out.
Shout out to Tyler. I did give one away to given one away already. Do I need to give those back to you guys?
He sent them for us, but if you just want to give them out to your friends and family, I mean, I guess nobody's stopping you other than that's not what the intended purpose is. But I am glad that one more has entered the wild. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. They also helped sponsor the event last week for us. So special, special thank you to them. Best vacuum sealed cups that you can get. They're working on an exclusive drop with DJ Lagway. A lot of new designs, a lot of upgraded products that they have. It's going to keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. Best product of drinkware that I use it literally every day, and not just because they sponsor this show.
Yeah, same. Can't lie.
Can't lie. And use Stadium 15 at checkout, and you get 15% off.
Buddy.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. Like, how is you getting all the exclusive shit and we over here with regular stuff?
Listen,
yeah,
I've had dinner with Tyler at Embers. Me and Tyler are boys.
That's
true. We'll be shooting some content. One of the ones I gave away was we had Taylor Shoemaker in the office doing a Q&A for Florida Victorious. I gave her one of the DJ cups that was sent to me so she could pop it into Ava Brown's locker.
Sent to me.
They were sent to me. The
cups were sent physically sent to your address. Yes, they were physically sent to your address.
Things that are normally sent to my address, I'm not then sending to you. That's not how the USPS works.
How
many cups you got now, Playboy?
I'll remember that when he's asking about
that. My wife is sick and tired of these cups at the house, but she uses them.
Well,
she uses them now.
Yeah, so you use them yourself. Promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. Kind of got a little interrupted there talking about football. Any final topics on this team? Obviously, still more than half the practices left to go before the spring game. And I do want to talk about some changes in the spring game, not for UF, but just in general. Nick, any final comments or guys, any final talking points?
I will be in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Florida Gators are undefeated when I'm in the building. I will be in Raleigh Thursday through Monday. If you're going to be in town, let me know. We are finalizing some stuff, I think, for Thursday night or for Friday pregame, like a happy hour pregame for Florida Victorious. And look out for details this week. I'll be tweeting them, retweeting them. So I'm boots on the ground this week with football off for spring break.
Awesome.
I know this is skipping a little bit ahead, but Nick, will you be at US Pro Day?
I will. I would like to be in San Francisco for rounds 3 and 4, but right. I will be at US Pro Day. I believe talking to some people, I might not be shoved off to the side where you can't see anything. I might be giving you the best angles on the field next to the scouts, rubbing elbows.
That's where I'm trying to be. I'm going to be up there in the building, man. I'm going to try to get a little networking on, meet some of these NFL coaches and kind of mingle around. So I'm going to catch you up there.
Okay, 2-5.
You know,
trying. Well, if there's an open invite, there's no reason that I should be there. But if you find a way, I can be there.
Dan, it's pro day. I am excited for last year, and I don't want this to sound too harsh, but there's not really a way to say it that isn't harsh. Last year was the worst pro day I've seen covering Florida since 2013.
Sure.
Probably could agree with that one.
I had I had a handful of scouts asking me if Ricky Pearsall was going to work out because he had a great combine. And I felt compelled to lie to them and say, yes, he is. I didn't want the scouts to not
show up. Yeah, you didn't want that smoke. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't want the scouts to not show up, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, two scouts at Florida's Pro Day, and that sucked for everyone else. I think those scouts deleted my contact because I was not asked this year about who's doing what. Said,
fuck you. Your word ain't incredible no more.
but great. I think there's 18 guys, a bunch of talent, and I'm excited to see Graham Mertz. Go through what he can go through. He's going to go through like a full throwing program. So shout out to Graham. I mean, tore his ACL, 5 months ago, 6 months ago? So shout out to him for working back and getting a pro day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, guys, I do want to talk of college football right now. I looked it up, and let me just double check what that is. About spring practice, the spring football game. So I think there's 19 different schools that have dropped the spring game this year. Ohio State, Texas, Nebraska, they were kind of the first ones USC, FSU, Oklahoma, West Virginia, certainly 19 Power Four programs have canceled their spring game. On the opposite side of that, Deion Sanders has said, hey, we should be playing other schools. And I know he's going up to Syracuse, I guess, for a couple days to be around Fran Brown over there. But what are your guys' takes on the spring game? How would you like to see them change or matter more? Or do you not have a strong opinion one way or another? Obviously, Jordan, you played in three of them. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting with Deion. Yeah. Go ahead, Jordan. What's your thing? What's your thoughts?
Honestly, I was about to say, you know, ideally that the coaches have their real scrimmage before the spring game.
Sure.
It kind of gives everybody kind of an idea of where everybody's at depth chart wise and stuff like that. I feel like the spring game is definitely more for the fans. I am kind of sad that they were trying to strip these from the fans, like gives people the opportunity. Well, all the other schools is not participating, but like y'all stripping the fans of a good time, man, having people come out and kind of cheer on their team and have a good time. So I'm not team no spring game. I think that we should have a spring game, even as far as with Deion, that we should play another team. Why not just get a chance? We've been beating up on each other for how many weeks? I want to go beat on somebody else. I'm not trying to beat up on my brothers for the spring game and get some clout off of that. That's no fun. So that's just my take on the entire thing.
Yeah, I think it should be like flexible, because like if you would ask me this year for this Florida team, no, I wouldn't want to go play anybody else right now, because we're so banged up, right? Like with injury and like health is a big thing for us right now. If we're healthy, then yeah, I wouldn't mind, you know, having some practices with another team and, you know, being able to get a different look. Because like you were saying earlier, you just know each other plays and calls after like playing each other so long in camp. So it'd be good to get some fresh looks from a team in a different color jersey on. But it would just be like, if I was a coach, like a flexible thing where I'm not set into a traditional spring game format. Like I don't know what the rules are in the NCAA. I'm pretty sure there's some rules around it right now, which I don't know if Deion can go do these practices with other teams and programs. You know, is that a thing that he can actually do? But if so, I think it'd just be a flexible thing if I was a coach, man. It depends on how healthy we are, where we are as a program. If I'm Florida State, like Florida State shut down theirs. If I'm Florida State, I got a whole new roster. Like, I just replaced pretty much my offensive and defensive starters. I don't know why it's like screaming. I just keep losing my camera. But if I'm that type of program, no, I wouldn't want a spring collaboration game, any of that. If I got a whole new transfer portal roster that's trying to learn all my new culture, all my new plays, it ain't a good setup for them. So I think this thing is a case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, well, I think spring is open, free, right, Dan? the spring game, you can go for free. Yeah. What if we – I mean, coaches don't want to do this, you know, for a number of reasons. They're canceling spring games because they don't want other schools to get tape of their third and fourth team, and then all of a sudden your third and fourth team is now playing – for somebody else in the conference or out of the conference.
Well, there goes Deion's playing because
– yeah. Texas is canceling. I get Texas. Texas – Stark was like, listen, dog, we played 14 games last year. We played 16 games last year, 14 the year before. Like, we don't need to play another game. We're good. I get that. Yeah. Also getting to boast about how successful your team has been the last 2 years. What if, like, Florida canceled the FAMU game? What if you had – hey, we're going to do a couple practices against FAMU. You're going down a level. But it gets you a chance to line up against somebody else.
Yeah, I think especially because there's money involved now, I think the injury situation is probably a lot harder to deal with, especially when you consider a program like a Florida A&M, right? You know, I don't know. I feel for the fans, right? Because the spring game is free. It for a lot of people, it might be the only opportunity they get to go to Gainesville. It's usually the same weekend as some other sports that are happening on campus. So kind of a fun time, inexpensive way to go see your favorite team play that you might not be able to during the fall, right? So I do feel for the fans that way. I kind of get it. I also think that all of these players get film of themselves, and a lot of them have agents. And a lot of the agents can shop that film around too. You know, I feel like coaches and those that are studying the transfer portal or, you know, doing advanced scouting or looking at other programs kind of know who those people are. I mean, maybe there's, you know, a name or two that will break out in one of those games, but I just don't know if that's as big of an issue now as it's being portended to be. I just more than anything feel bad for the fans that might only have that opportunity to go. I understand everything around it. I also understand that a lot of these guys are now professional athletes and you put themselves in a position to potentially get injured. And all of a sudden you have people that are donating a lot of money wondering why in a game that doesn't matter, you know, they're going full sprint against the, whether it's a FAMU or whether it's a different program too. It's a hard situation, and I don't know what side I take other than it's complicated, and I do, but more than anything do feel bad for the fans.
It'll be all right, bro.
I'm trying to think of like, what if you, I understand it being free is good. What if you were able to talk to the university and, hey, we're going to charge $5. And if we can get, what do you call it, 90,000 people there? Let's say we get 70,000 times five. How much money is that? 350,000. And you donate that to Florida Victoria. So you donate that to, hey, we're charging for the spring game. It's going towards NIL.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that there may be ways that you can raise money. I just think if you're a family of five going to see a game in the swamp is, you know, easily probably, I mean, for a decent game, you know, at least $1,000, if not significantly more.
Yeah.
Right. So that's, I mean, it is what it is. Right. But those are the people that maybe I, you know, it just seems like some of the pageantry in college football is going to change, and it's changed a lot. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is going away or is going to change as society and as time changes too. But that's just one of the things that, true, you know, it's kind of sad to see the end of.
And I wouldn't even be opposed to doing like, let's just say you scared of your starters getting banged up or hurt. You let the starters do like a first drive or a first quarter, something similar to like an NFL preseason. And you kind of let your younger guys get most of the reps for the rest of the game. Like, that's the time to kind of let your younger guys get some reps in, get some game reps in, some experience in. And both teams can do the same thing. You can just play your backups and it'll be like a backup type of game. But you obviously let the starters start out, do first drive or like, let's just say first quarter ones will be in, whatever, get the guys out, then they just cheer on the younger guys. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to something like that either.
Yeah.
I tell you, they just keep adding games, right? I mean, I'm just a player first dude, right? So they keep adding games. Like, how many playoff games? They even talking about extending that, and you just keep adding games. It slowly turned into like an NFL type schedule. Sure. Eventually somebody's gonna have to speak on it. Yeah, the players have and a lot of just like wear and tear on their body, you know, adding more spring wear and tear. Like, I get Texas, like, if we got this thing kind of humming over here a little bit, like, I got Arch Manning, who's been in the system, you know, for a while now. He understands everything. Like, what do we need another game for? Like, it's just, you know, we work on our X's and O's, clean up some of the play, execute, and get to the fall healthy. You feel me? That's why I'm not terribly down with DJ being out. While we do need the reps, but more importantly, we got to get healthy. We're a banged up team right now. And I wonder how, like, that's going to continue. Like, if you could keep up the spring game, like, some of these teams just finished. You feel me? And then they're right back at it. Like, most of these kids gonna need some type of care after the season. Like, it's just a quick turnaround. Like, we're right back in March and they're right back at it. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's tricky. And I do think
football's changing.
And we're gonna, like, spring is gonna change eventually. I think eventually we may get a preseason type vibe as well. But I don't know how you add a preseason and add more postseason. You know, it's a lot of games and a lot of expectations on these kids' bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Have a off-season cleanup, Jordan.
What you mean by that, off-season cleanup?
Like surgery, something happened.
Oh, no, nah, never for me. I was blessed enough to where college, I really didn't have too many injuries. I maybe had like an ankle and a hamstring through my college career, but nothing too really crazy for me that sat me out for too much of a long time. But I have had a lot of friends.
It's normal, just like your body just bouncing back like after the season.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I remember John Jalapio literally like tore his pec in like week two of like 2013 or 14. And just like, as an offensive lineman, you tear your pec, everything you're doing is pushing out in front. Just terrible. So he just put a shoulder sleeve on that wouldn't allow him to go to a certain level. And then just played football for 3 months with a torn pec.
That's crazy. Yeah, I can say though, it's definitely.
And then we were doctoring ourselves at Cantina doing shots, little pain medication. Shots with me and P.O. at Cantina.
It's definitely some lingering injuries, but I will say that Paul and his staff has always done a great job of like knowing what you need to do. Obviously, sometimes they'll throw the sleeve on you and make you go out there, but sometimes that don't even be Paul call. That'd be the head coach call, and that's who they want on the field. You feel me? But for the most part, Paul does a great job of taking care of his guys, man. Like, if you really banged up, he'll put you in that black jersey, put you in that red jersey, just have you in the pit working out. Like, he won't ever throw you out there if you're really in harm's way. But if you can play through it, his thing is always you can be hurt and you can be injured. Those are two different things. If you're hurt, you can go out there and fight through that, because the reality is nobody goes through a full season not somewhat hurt. Like, I don't care who you are. If you playing this grown man's game and you getting banged up every week in the SEC, something's going to be hurting on you. So if you want to just sit out and baby it and just watch your team fight without you, that's the type of guy you are. But for the most part, we leave that up to Paul to kind of make the decision for us. And I feel
the doctor?
Yeah. He's a head athletic trainer.
Okay.
He's always been doing a good job there. He's been there for a really long time, and him and his staff has been together for a really long time, and they've always been doing a great job of having like comeback players of the year and making dudes come back off a knee. I remember Antonio Morrison tore his knee, came back, comeback player of the year. Yeah, like they've always done a great job of that, man. Players get hurt and they dedicate their time to them boys, man, and make sure that they get back to where they're supposed to be. So I trust in the staff. The same staff is still there from when I was there. So I know we banged up in the DB room and all over the place right now, and it's tough for them to be out there in spring. But I trust the process and that they're making the right decisions to put guys out there, put guys in the pit, or even with the DJ Lagway situation. I don't even think he's that hurt. I don't even care that he's sitting out. He showed me enough last year. Take your vet card, brother. You ain't a vet yet, but you know, you that guy. So go ahead and do what you need to do. Long as you're looking good for training camp and we can get you some real reps in training camp, I have full faith that you haven't dropped off in 4 months, that you'll be fine.
Yeah, and he got the gap from post-spring up into fall camp. They're still working. They'll still get out there and work out on their own.
Like, he's doing nothing. Yeah, he's doing his thing. Like, even if they get a little off-season time, he's about to go back to his gym and go train with his little quarterback coach or go train at his little gym, whatever he do in Texas. I don't know, but I'm sure he's not just going to be sitting on the couch kicking the feet up. So I ain't too worried.
I love it. All right, guys. It brings us to the end of our show. Ryan O'Hara got promoted, by the way. So that's just a worthy announcement. In one of these weeks, we'll give you guys kind of an update on recruiting. We'll run through that. Go Gators. Basketball, one final ad read for our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com in Gainesville on Archer Road. Or again, alumnihall.com. Anything that you want, Florida Gators. Apparel for all sports of people of all sizes and from old to young. So go visit alumnihall.com. Let them know Stadium and Gale sent you. But again, that's alumnihall.com and Alumni Hall on Archer Road, just off of 75. All right, boys. Nick, maybe you have Song of the Week. Bring that back.
Also, shout out to Jimmy Fallon and St. John's, who did a remix of my sea shanty all about St. John's.
Okay.
It slapped. It slapped as you can imagine. Great. I was not ready.
No, that's fine.
Ooh, let's do. I heard this today. Not a new song, but a little country ditty for Corey and Jordan to listen to. Yep. Not Diddy. No Diddy. Not that Diddy. Not that Diddy. This one is Jordan Davis. The song is called Next Thing You Know.
Okay. I didn't know the Eagles D tackle would be a country.
Yeah. believe distant cousins, not the same person. Distant cousins.
Yeah. No, very distant. Very different. Very different. Yeah, they look very different, Jordan. They look very different.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Also, I would like to point out that prior to Tipsy went big, I did put Shaboozy as my song of the week. It was for a different song. Told Corey, hey man, I got a black man with wicks singing country. Need you to check this guy out. Next thing you know. My guy's winning Grammys.
His song blew off the charts, though.
I'm not one to point in the mirror or to point the thumb this way, but I might have put Shaboozy on. It might have been our show.
On the low.
Nick does has his thumb on country music and pop culture. So,
quarterbacks that can spin it.
And quarterbacks that can spin it.
Not propaganda. That was not propaganda. Just a clip. Just an unedited clip.
Oh, yeah. I love it. All right, guys. We'll see you at the same corner, same time next week. Gators play Friday at 6:50 Eastern time in Raleigh.
Holler at me.
Go Gators. We'll see you guys next week.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21+ only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings. Naturopathy Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to TryRoughGreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to TryRoughGreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You just cover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.